Good morning. That word wrestle. Please remember that I have wrestled with this for the last 3 weeks. And I have asked every question that I'm about to ask you of myself. So it's not me saying you've got to do it and I don't. Because I have prepared one earlier when it comes to it. So today's talk is the last in our series on the prophet Nehemiah. Can you believe 7 times we've been learning about Nehemiah? The official title is Living in Faithful Obedience to God. The subtitle is a question which was sparked by Simon's sermon in week 4. Having sat for 6 weeks now, hearing all the amazing things that Nehemiah and his team were able to do through God, I'll be refreshing memories as we go along. Today, I believe we are simply being asked, are you in or are you out? Earlier, we said yes. Are you in or are you out? When we meet Nehemiah today, it was at the point when the physical wall was finished, but the spiritual wall was in tatters. And so I stand before you to share a message of renewal, a call to commitment, to recommit our lives to the Lord. And I understand that we're all at different stages of our journey with the Lord. Some may be listening who are thinking, oh no, not that again. Some may never have committed fully to Christ at all. As Martin said in his sermon last week, Nehemiah had a prayer for the people who stood before him. And my prayer is that wherever you are on your journey with the Lord, you will find the space this morning to hear God telling you what you have to do to take the next step into his unfailing love. His infinite, unfailing love, where there is always another step to take to be closer and closer to his heart. With the people of Judea, the next step was for them to repent collectively. We've done that this morning. And personally. And then form a binding agreement with him which emphasises where they've got it wrong with the original covenant and where they need to do better. Firstly then, what's a covenant? The closest thing we have to a covenant in our modern day language is a contract. A contract is written or spoken agreement by 2 or more people that is intended to be enforceable by law. A biblical covenant, however, is given by God to humankind, and it is the law. Can you see the difference? A contract today, let's say if you start a new job, is written by the employer, but it is negotiable. Adaptations can normally be made before you sign the agreement. A God-given covenant, however, is not negotiable. You are either in or you are out. Let's take a look at how that works in history. When Abraham was given his covenant, God told him that he was going to have many descendants. He didn't say, "Would you like many descendants?" He didn't ask him. There was no two-way discussion about this. God told him what we wanted to happen and asked, are you in or are you out? Are you getting the gist? When God gave the covenant to Moses, he was saying, this is what I want the people to do. Are you in or are you out, Moses? And Moses says, yes, I'm in. And then he had to go to the people. And he said to the people, this is what the Lord wants us to do. Are you in or are you out? And today, the people in the reading were renewing their promise to the covenant God had given to them beside the brand new wall, which it had taken 54 days to build, all 2.5 miles of it. And the only reason it had been built was because of Nehemiah's commitment to the vision that God had given him, creating a place where others would recognize their strength and the strength of God that they served. The people stood beside it now to rebuild the walls of their spiritual lives, trusting the leader that stood in front of them. And because of all this, we make sure a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. Mike told us in week 3 that not all had helped with the building. Do you remember Nehemiah the builder? Can he fix it? Do you remember that? Yeah, so do I. But today, even those who had not been present in the building of the wall were now here to celebrate it being finished. And they've been won over by Nehemiah's determination to see God's will happen. They've come to repent alongside their fellow brothers and sisters. Simon showed us 6 steps to Nehemiah's success. Thank you. That's better. So firstly, compassion. I believe that the 6 steps to success for building the wall is the same 6 steps we can use to rebuild our spiritual lives. So the first one is compassion. As leaders, we hurt and we love those people in the parish where things are hard. We hear stories of children without school uniform, homes without carpet on the floor, a greater need for the food bank. The list could go on. This isn't inner city London. This is here in Holbrook. It is the compassion shown in these situations that will bring people together and bring people in through those doors. And then he prayed. Do you remember Simon's prayer? Break my heart over what breaks yours. Nehemiah prayed that the people would return to the Lord. Do we pray this? Do we pray for ourselves to return to the Lord? Do we pray for our families to return to the Lord? Or are we too busy rushing in to fix the practical problems? This is part of the planning stage. Father, prepare the hearts of the people I speak to when I go into Budgens today, so that if I see them struggling to pay, I can help them and speak with them about your provision and how you want to get to know them. This means being bold. Simon said to us, Nehemiah was very much afraid, but he was obedient. Go big or go home. Are you in? Or are you out? He said, this is where the rubber hits the road. You're getting the gist. If we're not a little nervous, then maybe we haven't set the big enough goal. We based it on our capability, not God's. He wants to do immeasurably more things through us than we can ever ask or imagine. How many times, I wonder, since the teaching that a few weeks ago of that, have I prayed for the impossible? How many times have you? I'm going to say my impossible prayer. My impossible prayer is, Father, please soften President Putin's heart and turn him to Jesus, in order to stop this crazy, horrific, inhumane war in Ukraine. Maybe it's because I've got that breaking heart. Maybe it's the righteous anger that Richard spoke of in week 5. So then on to the next bits. Casting a vision. Simon and Richard both cast visions in their talks. Simon's was to see 10,000 parishioners in Holbrook and 8,000 that are to come in Mowbray worshipping God. I think we need a bigger church. Wouldn't it be great? Do we pray for that? Richard reminded us of our formal vision, to know Christ and make Christ known. One of the most inspiring leadership stories I have ever heard, I might need to go on to the other mic for this, but was this. There's a story about when President Lyndon Johnson visited NASA, and as he was walking the halls, he came across a janitor who was cleaning up in the store. Like the Energizer Bunny, you probably remember that, with a mop in his hand, the president walked over to the janitor
And the janitor replied, "Sir, I'm not just a janitor. I helped to put the man in the room." See, even though he was just cleaning floors, he had a bigger purpose and he had the vision from the leader. This is what kept him going and helped him to excel at his job. Do you believe in the visions of our leaders?
Then pray for them. Why is it important? Because when Nehemiah built the wall, even the women knew why it was being built. Even the second race among the community were equal in God's plan. All were included and all felt part of it. So when it got to the point that a renewal covenant was being signed, no one got left behind. Isn't that great? Oh, did that this morning as well. There you go. So then we get to perseverance. The bit we don't like, bit I don't like anyway. Because you get excited, don't you? And you pray, and you get excited again, and then God says, yeah, keep going. And going. And going. Don't give up. I don't remember when this whole building was built, but I do remember the balcony being rebuilt. I do remember how dark it was in here and how the back of the church was almost separated from the front of the church. I do remember those storage containers outside and all the work it took to empty the church furnishings into them and the pain it was for supplies for the children's workers every single Sunday. And it went on. And I do remember the sound system being difficult to sort out. And I do remember the anticipation of seeing the project finally finished. But then COVID struck and the needs of the community went up and the church was shut. Every day Richard emailed us as a community and persevered to try and ensure that no one was left out. And as soon as we were able to, teams of people and particularly the office team and the wardens did all they could to get that church open again. We persevered. But what now? COVID, I'm going to say, is all but gone. It's not gone, I know that. Blessing. But what has the past 6 weeks with Nehemiah taught us about our own spiritual lives? Firstly, we need to reaffirm and commit our commitment to God. Not just today, but every time we mess up. In Nehemiah 10:28-29, we witness the Israelites committing themselves to obey the law of God. They pledged to walk in his ways and observe his commandments. This demonstrates their recognition that a covenant with God requires obedience and fidelity. And secondly, we need to embrace consecration and stewardship. Verses 10, 32 to 39 reveals another crucial aspect of covenant renewal. The people's commitment to consecrate themselves and their resources to the Lord. They set aside a portion of their time, their talents, their treasures for the service of the temple and for the support of the priests and Levites. They recognized the importance of stewardship and willingly offered their offerings and sacrifices with a joyful heart. When you're consecrated, you're set apart for God's will. Richard and Simon were formally consecrated when they were ordained. And God willing, I will be next year. But remember, when you decide to follow Christ as your Lord and your Master, you are set apart too. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into a wonderful light. Wow! That means you must have a vision of what God is calling you to do today. You must be aiming to be holy in your relationship with God. If that's something you've not thought about yet, maybe Caroline's question from week one, as you seek God's heart in prayer for community. How are the people doing? What do I need to do to make it better here in Holbrook? Be prepared for a not too pretty answer. Nehemiah listened, then wept, then prayed, then fasted in order to know God's heart on the matter. How committed are we to seeing this church spiritually rebuilt? God is longing to show St. Mark's where the needs are, but he needs to know that he's got a committed body that he can work through. It was on moving closer to God that the people of Israel realized they had broken the covenant. The first one was that they had not been faithful to God in romantic relationships and thus failed to love God with all their hearts and souls. But it's okay. Because we say sorry and God brings us back. The second one is they have not trusted God to provide and instead thought up cruel ways of businesses to protect themselves. Slavery, high interest loans to those who couldn't afford it. Sounding familiar? They failed to love God with their minds and love their neighbours as themselves. And thirdly, they failed to support God's work with the first fruits of their labour and thus let the walls turn to ruins. That happens to us spiritually. A spiritual picture of what happens to our own lives when we give God at best a prayer at the end of the day and at worst, nothing at all. Their covenant took days to go through and pages of rules in order to bring a new binding agreement. And when it was done in chapter 9, verse 38, it tells us that it was sealed by the leaders and held as that binding covenant. But this morning, because of Jesus, we have two sentences in our covenant with God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and love your neighbour as yourself. Why don't you read it with me? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. I wonder what would happen if we changed it to I. Richard passionately told us, we must seek holiness. That's how we do it. So I wonder, what is God saying to you today? What do you need to repent of? What new thing is God calling you to? It'll be different for all of us. But remember, when Nehemiah spoke to the people, this was just before 400 years of silence, ending the Old Testament. The next thing to happen in our Bible was God sending his son to die for us and take the punishment meant for us. So when we come to repent, as we did earlier, we come knowing that the grace of God through Jesus has done it all. We do not come in fear. We come because we've fallen short of the glory of God and we are all in need of his help. For some, we need to build the walls of our holy relationships stronger. For some, we need to build more holy foundations in our business. For some, we need to knock down that old wall. The old wall that caused us to be selfish with our gifts that God has actually given us. That could be money. It could be time, it could be skills, anything. Anything that God needs to further his kingdom here on earth. Do I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind, and love my neighbour as myself? Thank you. The old covenant stressed what people had to do, but the new covenant focuses entirely on what Christ has done for us. So in a minute, what I'm going to get you to do, you may have wondered why you were given a card on your way up. If you haven't been given a card, if you just raise your hand now, then someone will come to you with a card. What I'm going to ask you to do is write. We're going to have a time of quiet. Write inside on the card what you think God is wanting you to do, is calling you to do, is asking you to repent of. And then at the bottom of it, answer that question, am I in or am I out? If you're in, write, I'm in, God. It will be different for all of us. Then write your address on the front and remember that this will be held under lock and key. Data protection will be preserved. Write your name and address on the front of the envelope. Seal across the seal with your signature. I'm not going to read what's in your letter. No one is going to read what's in your letter. It's between you and God. But what I am going to do is I'm going to stand over by the font. And I have some heart stickers that I'm going to put across your signature as a sign that the leadership stand with you and seal your covenant with you that you're making today. In the coming year, one morning when you're least expecting it, this will be posted back through your door to remind you of the covenant that you have made this morning. Was that clear? So write your covenant to God, put your address on, sign the back. I will be waiting at the front for you. And that can happen any time in the service, so take your time. We've got a time of worship. We've got notices. We've got other things happening. Even if we've finished the service and you want to put your card in, I will be waiting. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you speak what Jesus needs to tell us this morning into our hearts? And would we write these things down? And would we remember them? We thank you for all you've done so far in this community. But would you enlarge our borders? Would you enlarge our expectation? And may we pray for the impossible. In Jesus' name, amen.